Caroline Willie and D Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. Chase McCabe in today alongside Willie Donick. Caroline will be doing afternoons with Adam Vingan and D Mace with the day off. So, like old times, hanging out with Willie D. What's up?
Chase, what's happening?
Got that Mets hat on, just hanging on to any hope you have left.
I'm sporting the new Met hat that I picked up on sale at Citi Field. And for whatever reason, the Mets are playing okay since I've been wearing the black hat. So I'm not a fan of the black in the Mets uniform, but for practical purposes, like when you're out and about, it's a more subtle hat.
Nonchalant.
No, it's not. It's a little more nonchalant. The bright blue with the orange, the traditional Met, which I would prefer to wear, I prefer to see them in. It's a little louder. It's a little more. So I'm trying to go a little more low key, but I'm also they're playing all right. Like Knicks Cardinals.
You can say it. Go ahead, Willie. I know you're waiting.
It's a nationally televised game last night. John Smoltz on the call. The Mets got the win in St. Louis. This is a series of who is the worst, who's the more miserable team with the high expectations. Cardinals or Mets? The Mets took round one, but it's a 4-game series. We've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Do we need to have some sort of like consequence? Like whoever loses, you want to shave my head? Like,
I mean,
well, Willie's got nothing up there to shave, so.
Yeah, I know. Willie, ponder on it. Ponder on it for the show.
Okay, we'll figure out what we could do.
I think you should do the classic, like, you got to wear a Mets jersey for a week, and he's got to wear a Cardinals hat or something like that.
We could do that.
Yeah,
we could do that.
That's valid.
I mean, you know, that could be fun. Cool to hang out with you today. So you were at the Sounds game last night as they took on Charlotte. You threw out the first pitch. I've seen the video, and I need a ruling because you even put this on your Twitter. Was it a pass ball or was it a wild pitch?
Well, first off, I had a great time. It was a beautiful night at the Sounds Park last night. The Sounds came back and won, which was great. They gave up a home run on the first pitch. I don't know if it was the first pitch or the second pitch of the game. And they were in the hole. They were down 3-0 very early. Came back and won, so good for the Sounds. But I threw out the first pitch. It was Vanderbilt night, so Clark Lee was also on the field with one of his players.
Well, that worked
CJ
out
Taylor.
Well for you, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so I fit right in. I was like, this is perfect. We're all about the doors and the Sounds. So I go out and throw the first pitch. I threw out the first pitch at a Sounds game at Greer Stadium years ago. I also threw out the first pitch at a Chattanooga game when Tommy Lasorda was on hand. The problem was the game got rained out. The game never started. I got my first pitch in. That was the only pitch thrown in the night. They put the tarp on the field right after that because the storm came in, never started the game. So Pete Weber was there too. Pete spent like half the night in the booth with the Lookouts play-by-play guy just telling stories. So it was fun to do that, but I had never done this before, Chase. I go out to throw the first pitch, and usually it's the backup catcher or you know somebody says, hey, you know, go out and catch the – one of the Sounds players will go out and catch it.
Right.
I get out to the mound, and, you know.
Well, Booster's been doing it for
okay.
a while.
Okay, so Booster comes out there. So I was a little rattled because I'm throwing from the rubber. I don't want to be one of those guys that throws from the
That's fine.
From the front part of the mound or the grass. So because I want to throw a pitch. You know, Andrew Marinus, who was there with Vanderbilt, he was on hand, and he said, what pitch are you going to throw? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to throw a little cutter.
You went cutter?
I wanted to throw the cutter. Because I have a tendency at my first pitch, you're on the mound, you're up high, it sails a little bit. So I figured if I cut it, I could have a better chance of throwing a strike. But then Booster's out there, and it wasn't a catcher. So I was like, now what do I do? Because you can't really whiz it at the mascot.
Right. No. No, you shouldn't
You can't hum it in there with the mascot throwing it. So I decided to just kind of throw it nice and easy. And I thought it was on the money. It was a little high. It was right down the middle, but high. And it went right past Booster. Right past him.
It would have caught the K-zone if Booster caught it.
So you just think Booster dismissed it?
Well, I feel it was catchable. But it looked bad because he didn't he barely touched it. It might have ticked off the very top of his mitt, and it went all the way to the backstop. So I'm thinking it was a pass ball, but, you know, I'm trying to say, could I have made it a little easier for Booster to handle that pitch?
I think Booster should have made it easier for you. I don't think he made it easy enough.
He had an oversized glove, but on his wing or whatever, I don't know what kind of grip he's got on the glove, his ability to move that thing around. Does he typically catch the first pitch?
Yeah. I've done it twice, and he's caught both.
So you're saying it hasn't been a problem for you?
Well, no, but I mean, it's me. I'm front of the mound and might get it to the plate.
Okay,
so.
Well, do we need to retweet this? I would love to know if people think I should have done a better job giving him a better ball.
I mean, I feel like it was a good pitch. I just think maybe you put, like Jeff Hem commented and said a little too much heat for
he
Booster.
Said too much heat?
He said, yeah, a little too much on the heater for Booster or something like that.
Does Jeff have any, you know, data on the pitch, like spin rates and stuff? I noticed on the Jumbotron, you know, they have the miles per hour and things like that. I don't know what it was clocked at or if I had a little extra spin, like late life. You want
He's
that late life
the
on
booth.
The fastball.
He's got something in the booth, I'm pretty
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, I mean, they usually have that stuff, but I don't know if they do that for the ceremonial first pitch.
Okay. Well, if we have any more evidence to put onto the table.
But I think we should retweet the video.
Pass ball or wild pitch. Yeah, I'd love for people to weigh in. Do they think this was a pass ball or a wild pitch?
Willie, did you see the Mike Tyson video I sent to you?
I saw that you sent it to me, but I thought this was going to another part of our discussion of famous celebrities that have played in Nashville. But this is not it. This was the first pitch.
Yeah, you might want to give that a gander.
Give it a gander?
Give it a good old gander. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Was this last night?
I believe so.
He threw out a first pitch last night.
He had a good motion.
Yeah.
He put it right in there. See, he had a catcher. He had a guy framing up his pitch.
That's what I'm saying. I think Booster kind of did not help you enough.
Look, it's tough on Booster. Booster, you know, the vision, the glove, there's a lot of challenges.
I know. And look, we're not blaming Booster.
I'm not. I Booster gave it his best shot. He
I
came
think
right
Willie,
out.
Willie thought he was going to get, you know, Brian McCann behind the plate. And so, you know, not the mascot. So I don't know what you were expecting. I mean, it's a ceremonial first pitch.
Yeah.
So the mascot does it a lot.
And then CJ Taylor from Vanderbilt, he came out and threw his pitch and he had Mr. C behind the plate.
Okay. So do you think it would have been better if you had Mr. C?
I don't know.
Were you asking for a redo?
No. Well, maybe someday it'll come back around. I don't know. Not anytime soon.
Well, I'm glad that it was fun. And we have put it out at 1025 The Game on Twitter, you know, of what you think. Wild pitch by Donick or a pass ball by Booster? I mean, it definitely – the look on Booster's face was pretty funny, like how he turns.
It looked like he was blaming the glove.
Yeah.
He looked at the glove as if, you know, is there a hole in there or what? Then he, you know, he came out. We did our good handshake like a good pitcher, catcher, battery should do. And we moved on. We had to move on. The game had to start.
That's what you have to do.
Because for a second, I was like, do we need to do that again?
He didn't frame you well, Willie. I'm looking back at the tape. He didn't frame you well. He didn't get down in the stance. Like, he's way high up in the zone. Like, you're obviously going to throw a little higher to him. So, I mean, yeah, Booster, I'm calling you out, man. You got to get a little better shot at that.
Okay, you want more from Booster. I didn't realize he had as much experience as he did catching these first balls. So I thought it was catchable.
I remember one time Jared did it, and he had, I want to say it was like Joey Wendell, when Joey Wendell was here, and he was catching some, that he was who caught it. It wasn't Booster, but then the both times I've done it, it's been Booster. So. But appreciate the sounds for having us out. Raymond and Franklin says, must be a Mets thing. Check out Gary from the Howard Stern Show. That is classic. So that was his response to this. But Willie D throws out the first pitch, and it's a busy weekend in Nashville as Lionel Messi comes to town for the Leagues Cup against Nashville SC. And then the Titans are in Minnesota to take on the Vikings in the second preseason game. We know that Treylon Burks, it seems... As Mike Vrabel said, best case scenario with that, he'll miss a few weeks. I was listening the other day, you know, when the news broke and you all speculating of, I mean, it doesn't look good. Derek didn't think it looked good. None of us thought it looked good. And the fact that There's no structural damage, and he's only going to miss a few weeks with what's reported of being a sprained LCL. That's the best news you could hope for.
Oh, yeah. When it happened during our show a couple days ago, we really feared the worst. So it was nice to have Mike Vrabel come back around yesterday and verify what had been reported.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't always do. He doesn't always give you a whole
lot. I feel like
he's
doing that more, though.
Yeah, he doesn't always give you a lot of details on injuries, but yesterday he shared the same sentiment. And so we can only hope now that it'll be more like that 2-3-4 week range and not 6-8. It will depend on the degree of the sprain when you read all about this stuff. So maybe we'll get a better indication here towards the end of the preseason of what we're talking.
Well, we did mention Nashville SC. They are playing tomorrow for the League's Cup. I believe Ben Wright going to join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on that matchup and Lionel Messi coming to town. We'll do that here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Chase in today with Willie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Chase McCabe in today alongside Willie Donick, Nick Frazier here in the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. League's Cup tomorrow, the final, Geodis Park, 8 o'clock. We say hello to Ben Wright, Broadway Sports Media, who has been nice enough to join us. Ben, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. It's a crazy weekend here in Nashville, and I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think just for soccer in general in this city, what can this do to help build what I believe is a good fan base, but one that can always get bigger, because I think you've gotten more attention now with the best player, one of the best players in the sport, coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of things that are going for them here. First of all, it's in the summer. There's not a ton of other stuff going on sports-wise in Nashville. So I think in a lot of ways this has been kind of it for Nashville. You get teams like Club America and Monterey coming into town who have some of the biggest followings on the continent. I mean, Club America is the most popular team in North America. So getting them into Nashville, getting Club America fans who live in Nashville to come into the stadium, just the TV product, I think it's brought a lot of eye to Nashville. And then now obviously you have Inter Miami and Lionel Messi, who's, I mean, not just the best player to ever have played the game, but he's the most popular athlete on the planet. I mean, it's going to be more eyes on Nashville SC than have ever been there before. And I think it's a huge, huge deal for them.
So when you look at Nashville SC and what it means for them and their season, obviously this is for the League's Cup, but they're going to play Miami again in a couple of weeks when the MLS schedule resumes. And, you know, I think they kind of needed a little bit of a spark. And I feel like now that they've made this run in this tournament, that potentially could help them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it feels like forever ago, but they were struggling before League's Cup started. They had won, I think, one of their last six games. They had games against Philly and Cincinnati right before the tournament started, both of whom are, I mean, two of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, both of whom are kind of rivals with Nashville, and they lost both of those. They had two players sent off in both of those games. I mean, they were struggling, and I think, I mean, maybe this League's Cup run hasn't surprised them, but it certainly surprised everybody else. And I think, obviously, getting to a final, having the potential to win a trophy is huge, but it's also huge for their regular season. When they come back, they'll have 10 games left in MLS before the playoffs kick off. And I think it's hard to look at this League's Cup run and say that it hasn't put them in a really good position to finish out the season strong, to climb up the table, and to put themselves in a really good spot come playoffs.
Ben Wright is with us. So, Ben, let's get a little perspective on this for you, because you're obviously a young analyst, reporter for this team. Did you grow up idolizing Messi? Where was Messi on your radar growing up as a soccer fan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been watching him since I was a kid. So, yeah, it's a little bit surreal to think that I'm going to be watching him in person tomorrow and getting to cover him, too. I mean, it's crazy, but I think there are plenty of people like me who just grew up watching him and did not think that there was ever a chance that you would see him come and play in America while he was still at a high level. I mean, we've seen players like that come kind of at the tail end of their career, on definitely kind of diminished product on the field. But Messi's coming off winning the World Cup, being the best player at the World Cup just 9 months ago. So, I mean, he's 36, but he's still kind of in his prime, and it's just a little bit surreal.
I can remember as a kid, Pelé, growing up in New York, I went to the Pelé soccer camp, and it was a little bit of the same thing, right? He was at the tail end of his career, but it was a huge, huge thing for the league back then to have somebody of his status playing there. So as you mentioned, Messi was so brilliant at the World Cup. Here he is. And so let's talk about the matchup. You know, this is Nashville SC against a team that wasn't doing very well in the MLS. They pick up one of the greatest players of all time. So what does that look like matchup-wise?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because no one in MLS has been able to stop them. They've scored, I think, 21 goals in six games. I think it was Taylor Twellman who said in their prior 22 games they had 22 goals. So they've just exploded offensively and really just rolled over every team that they've played. Dallas put up a good fight, but that was a 4-4 draw that they ended, Miami won in penalties. So, I mean, I don't know. Whatever you do, Messi will score and Miami will score. I think, though, for Nashville, they're the best defensive team that Miami will have played since Messi got there. I think they're pretty confident because they just came off a 2-0 win against Monterrey, who are probably the deepest and most talented team in North America. And sure, they don't have Messi, they don't have Busquets, they don't have Jordi Alba, but I think it's probably, you can make a strong case that Monterrey are a more complete team. So I think maybe from a Nashville perspective, they have a lot of confidence because they might be thinking that they just beat a better team than Miami. So I don't think they're going to back down. I think they're going to put up a much stronger defensive performance than Philadelphia did in their semifinal loss. Really, Philadelphia are one of the best defensive teams in MLS and beat themselves with just really uncharacteristic mistakes. It was almost like they were scared to play against Messi. They gave him so much time and space on the ball. And I just don't think we're going to see that from Nashville. I think they're going to play hard. They're not going to give him time and space on the ball. I wouldn't be surprised if he scores at least a goal, but I think with the form that Hany Mukhtar and Sam Surridge have been in, they can probably match them in the final third. So I think it's going to be a high scoring game, but a close game. And I think Nashville match up pretty well.
All right, Ben, you've seen all of the different dynamics at play here since this perfect storm came together. First, let's take it from the macro side. Messi joining the league and the television package through Apple TV, it's so driven by subscriptions. That's how, one of the reasons they did this. They want to broaden Apple TV's umbrella, I guess, and get more subscribers to the league. How do you think that has worked so far?
I think it's worked pretty well. I forget who reported it, but there are reports going around that they've doubled their total subscriber base since Messi joined. I mean, I forget how many followers he has on Instagram. It's like in the hundreds of millions, and he's putting out links to watch the Apple TV product before every game. He's getting a cut of the TV deal, which is pretty unheard of for an individual athlete to receive part of the league TV deal. I don't think that's ever happened before, but you can see the motivation. He's out there selling the product. It's a global deal too. It's not just for the US rights. It's for all over the world. So people from Argentina who just want to watch Messi play, they're tuning in. People all over the world who have watched him for the past 20 plus years are tuning in. So it's a much more global audience than I think MLS has had before. And I'm really interested to see how they capitalize on it because, Messi's going to be here for a few years. It's going to be great. But how do they take that momentum and kind of the Messi effect and grow from it and kind of keep up this momentum that the league has right now? I'm really interested to see what the next 5-10 years look like for MLS.
It's great knowing that perspective to set me up for this next question, because as we sit here in Nashville, you've got a new franchise that's off to a great start, and this is an unbelievable opportunity to maybe grow their own fan base locally. But there are some barriers when you have some casual fans saying, I don't really want to pay to watch games, and these tickets are astronomical. I can't go see the game. Some of their own fans have been almost priced out, basically have been priced out from being able to go to this, even though they may be season ticket holders on some level. So how have they tried to balance that? Have you had a chance to talk to some of the higher-ups in the organization about that dynamic?
I haven't had a chance to talk to them specifically about ticket prices because, as you can imagine, they are getting absolutely slammed with requests from everybody who covers soccer at any level. I will say, I think a lot of resellers got pretty ambitious and overestimated the market that they think people are gonna pay. They scooped up tickets early and tried to resell them at just astronomical prices. And there are lots of tickets still open, and the prices are dropping pretty consistently. I mean, I think there are some that they started out in the 300s. If I'm not mistaken, I think there are some tickets available at that or even lower now. I wouldn't be surprised if there's still open tickets tomorrow that are in the $100 to $200 range. So, I mean, I think there is a chance. I think a lot of fans were really discouraged initially and kind of maybe gave up on being able to get the gate. And I would just say, like, keep checking the ticket sites, keep looking. I think as it gets closer, you're going to see a lot of people who bought tickets and thought they could make a huge profit off them kind of getting desperate and dropping the prices just to get something back. So I think people are going to be able to get in the door for a lot cheaper than maybe we thought initially.
Ben Wright is with us from Broadway Sports Media. Ben, you've been at practice. What is the latest on Jacob Schaffelberg? He came off in the 17th minute against Monterey. What's that top forward spot going to look like for them going up against Inter Miami this Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, I think, for Nashville heading into this this game. I mean, Schaffelberg has been one of the better players in the whole tournament. He's towards the top of the assist charts. He's just been kind of electric. And I know Fafa Pico for Nashville came in and scored the goal. He has some of the same speed, but he's a pretty different player. So I think it's a huge question mark for them. The good news is Schaffelberg was the first player out on the field at training. He was doing some one-on-one drills with assistant coach Steve Guppy, and then he was doing a full participant in the team training. So I think he looked pretty good just from what I saw. We'll talk to Gary Smith later today around 4 o'clock and hope to get an official update from him. But just from training this morning, Schaffelberg looked good to go, and I would be surprised if he's not at least on the bench.
Okay. Well, my next question after that is, if that is the case, would you expect and anticipate possibly Fafa to start up top and then maybe do what they've been doing the last couple of games and bring Sam Surge on at halftime?
Yeah, so that's the other big question. If you start Sam Surge or if you go with Teal Bunbury, I'll take Fafa first because I think you've seen Schaffelberg and Pico kind of just interchange a lot. And I think there's a lot to like about having Pico play for 60 minutes or so. And then against the Miami defense that already leaves a decent amount of space in behind, bring on Jacob Schaffelberg for the last 20 or 30 minutes, I think that could bring a lot of success for Nashville. As far as Sam Surridge, the most he's played is 45 minutes so far. He's come on at halftime in their last two games. And I know there's a lot of people who really want him to start. I don't love the idea of having him available for 60 minutes and then needing a goal towards the end of the game and not having him available. I don't think Teal Bunbury is nearly as much of a threat in the final third. I mean, obviously no disrespect to him, but I mean, he's just not. He's not a designated player. I like the idea of having Bunbury out there to start to try to just kind of hold things down and then, again, bring Sam Surridge on at halftime because I think it's worked for them, and I think you're going to need to score goals. You're probably going to need to score goals late. And I think having your best players on towards the end of the game kind of makes more sense for this one.
Real quick, Ben, what's the latest with Joe Willis?
Yeah, so he had a personal emergency. He actually posted, I think, yesterday or the day before that his father-in-law passed away after a battle with cancer. Excuse me. So he was out of town, obviously, dealing with that during the Club America game. Came back and was available to play against Monterrey, but I think Panico did a really good job. Excuse me, it was actually the Minnesota game that he missed, but Panico did a really good job there. And I don't think he's done enough to lose the starting job. I would be surprised if Joe Willis starts. I think it's going to be a pretty close call, but Gary Smith kind of has a history of riding the hot hand, and Panico has kept back-to-back clean sheets and looked pretty solid. So I think he'll probably ride with him. It's a really interesting question, though, because Joe Willis has been the guy for 3.5 years. So it's a huge call to make.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we'll see tomorrow for sure. Ben, appreciate the time as always, and should be a fun one tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait. Thanks for having me on.
Going to be awesome. Ben Wright, Broadway Sports Media, talking Nashville SC and the League Cup Championship. And Willie, tickets. I mean, that's kind of the That's kind of the topic here.
I would love to hear from some people on our call or text line. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I would love to know what your experience has been. Depending on where your perspective, you could be a diehard fan who has opted in, but if you've been hunting down tickets, you just heard Ben with an interesting dynamic that maybe the secondary market was at one level and the demand maybe isn't quite as great as we thought, and maybe it's a little more reasonable than you thought. What has the ticket thing been like for you? I'd love to hear some different perspectives, because I've seen online a lot of frustration, a lot of opinions on how they've done this, and this is such a big global thing, more so than just like a local sports team thing, right? It's the challenge.
I mean,
that
it feels like a Taylor Swift, like Aaron Stewart.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So let me hear your experience on this. If you're going to be watching, and just for casual purposes here, Miami is pretty heavily favored in this game, even though it's at Nashville.
On Superbook Sports, Miami is getting even money. Nashville's plus 225.
That's regulation.
Regulation.
To lift the cup, it's like plus 150 for Nashville to lift the cup.
So not a huge underdog, but an underdog. Okay.
Yes.
615-737-1025. I want to hear your thoughts on this game tomorrow. And we did a vote earlier this week. More people, over half of our listeners that voted they're going to be watching this game over the Titans-Vikings, which would be surprising to some. But that's kind of the magnitude of this game that we're seeing. Probably the biggest soccer game that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised.
And we've had some pretty big games here, but this is going to be the biggest.
Two TVs set up for me tomorrow.
Okay, so you get the games. Well, see, I've got to figure out how I'm getting these games, because I got the DirecTV problem with Channel 2.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to probably leave my house to watch these games
tomorrow. Yeah, I might go to the bar.
Are there sports bars that will have this? Because it is on the – you've got to subscribe, right?
Right, but a lot of the – so like with a lot of these streaming services now, they kind of work deals with DirecTV, because a lot of the bars have DirecTV that – they'll take it. So,
but do they get the Titans game?
No, I was talking to some people.
There were some bars locally that they didn't.
Yeah, some have gone out and bought antennas so they can you put the rabbit ears up and do it that way. So that may be what you see for sure. But we'll take your calls and texts on that. 615-737-1025, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, Chase McCabe in today for Caroline, as she'll be on afternoons. D-Mace with the day off. Willie D here, Nick Frazier here as well, discussing Nashville SC and people that, you know, what are you going to pay to go to the game?
Where are you going to watch?
And where are you going to watch? Like, how are you going to watch? That's the question. Are you watching them over the Titans? I mean, the Titans kick off at 7, Nashville SC's at 8. So you could hypothetically see, you know, the offensive line and the things that you want to see in the Titans game, and then flip over to Nashville SC. So you could kind of get both in.
We have had both ends of the spectrum with people that have responded to this question. Some people are like, of course I'm watching the Titans. I'm not a soccer fan. It doesn't matter whether it's Messi or anybody else. It just doesn't register for some people. But I think it shows how things have changed and evolved in our city, that so many people are saying, are you kidding? I'm not watching an NFL preseason game. I'm watching Messi. This is huge. So I know a lot of you are ready to weigh in on this, but I would love to hear people's experience trying to buy tickets. How do you feel about how the pricing has gone, how the service has been? Because it's always crazy when you get slammed, right? And there's D-Mace tried to get on the queue on the air, and he was behind 2,000-plus people right the day after.
So D-Mace was going to buy tickets.
He looked at it, yeah. I also have some people that are season ticket holders that had the early access but did not buy into this game, but they had priority, but they were still getting, you know, it was still a frenzy to try to get the tickets for the face value there.
Should we call Philip Forsberg and see if he'll help us out?
I suggested that to Michelle Kennedy yesterday, and she was like, I'll bet you he's got a few phone calls in the queue.
Sure. And Giannis is rumored to potentially be there.
Yeah.
I mean, There's a lot. By the way, I do need to say this. So I gave a best bet out earlier, and I didn't get proper credit because it was Ricky that gave it to me for Music City Bets. But over 1.5 first half goals at +150. That's the best bet. So Rick, I'm sorry, I should have given you credit.
And these are overall goals, not Messi goals.
Yeah. So
like what are the odds that Messi scores a goal?
-190.
Yeah.
-190 that he scores one. Because he's had at least one in all the games.
One in
he's
every
played,
game.
Right?
Yep.
Which honestly I thought it would be like a -220 or something like that. Because since he has scored. But
yeah.
No, that bet that Ricky gave out was basically you're saying you think there'll be two or more goals in the first half. So, which I think is a, I think that's a safe bet.
Okay. 615-737-1025. Call or text, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's get to Ben, who is up first and wants to weigh in. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great. So what's been your experience leading up to this game?
It is insane, the ticket prices, and I feel bad for two particular groups. I feel bad for the season ticket holders and the diehard Nashville fans. I also feel bad for the parents of kids who are huge soccer fans that their kids are begging them to go and they just can't afford it. And in the United States, this might be the only time someone from Nashville gets to see Messi, because who knows if he'll be in the next World Cup that is being hosted by the United States.
Yeah, that's a really interesting dilemma that I think the franchise has. Like, for me, I love the World Cup. That's really the only time I've watched Messi play is in the World Cup.
But you know who he is.
Oh, absolutely. And I learned this years ago. I went to my son's school when he was in the first grade, and I saw as many Messi jerseys as I saw Marcus Mariota jerseys. You know what I mean? There were the branding of Messi alone, with a couple other guys, you know, Ronaldo, a couple other guys that you see in there, but Messi is probably takes the cake, right? You just see their jerseys, and I'm like, this is beyond just they're watching the World
Cup,
right? They're following this guy.
Well, yeah, and to Ben's point, I mean, Miami and Nashville are going to play, and if Messi's going to play the next, you know, 3 or 4 years or whatever, I mean, there's going to be other opportunities because Nashville and Miami play. What, twice a year,
right,
Nick?
So
yes. Home and home?
Twice a year, yep, home and home.
So that's what you have to hope for if you miss out on this one. But I do think what Ben is saying is a problem that a lot of the diehard fans who go to that stadium every game, they're missing out on this game, or they're getting priced out of this game.
Every
right?
time
there's a lot. There is a lot of frustration with that, and I don't know that you could avoid it.
Every time I go to the game, I try to do my best. I'll go down to the field, and I'll do my walk around the pitch, as they say. But I go and introduce myself to some of the fans that are locals, that they're like, yeah, we're season ticket holders, but we're not opted in. They're those type of people. So I'm just like, man, I think of those people every time I hear something about this. I'm like, those people really lucked out. They really did.
So I guess I'll ask the question from, if you are a Nashville SC fan, do you feel like this has been a little unfair? Or do you feel like, look, man, I'm kicking myself because I should have just bought the full season ticket package and I would have been good. I would have had the tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's people doing that, but at the same time, this is also different. Number one, nobody thought that Lionel Messi was going to join MLS this year, and he did.
Yeah, when you decided to make this, you weren't like, they might have Messi. It was not on the radar.
And number two, this is a tournament. This is not like regular season stuff, so I'm not going to go as far to say it's unfair. I mean, look, this is just where we are in society now. I mean, you know, if you have tickets to something, like, for instance, you know, if you're a Vanderbilt season ticket holder, I guarantee you there's a lot of them, especially with the fact that you got both end zones gone in the stadium, that they're going to cash out for Georgia and sell their tickets to Georgia fans or Kentucky fans.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's happened. It used to happen with the Preds and the Blackhawks or the Red Wings.
And you can disagree with it and say that's not a true fan. Whatever, that's fine. But that's what people do.
And it's an infighting thing among the loyal fans. Like, come on, how can you sell out to these? And that's I've seen a lot of tweets with that from the Nashville SC fans. That's, to me, the sign of a passionate fan base.
People are making a special trip. They're coming to Nashville to go to this game.
Right, and like, they'll spend whatever they got to spend. Yeah. All right, let's get to Mike in Gallatin, who's up next. Mike, do you have tickets for this game?
Hey, no. I wish that I did. So here's my situation again, just like it sounds like with D-Maze. When the tickets drop to the public, I had like on a timer. So literally the second he hit go, I had to do the same thing for Hamilton tickets last time he came to TPAC, all sorts of stuff. But I called and I got in there. And even with setting the timer, literally when it went off, I had over 500 or 600 plus people ahead of me to be able to get tickets. And I had a I didn't have a big enough window. I guess I was shocked to an extent. Like I, you know, the magnitude of Messi and what he brings to this game, it makes sense. But I can't just, like, sneak off for an extended bathroom break at work for more than, you know, 30, 45 minutes to who knows how long just to get access to tickets that I probably would have been priced out for altogether. But if I could, you know, again, if a good deal came around at a time, I'm at the spot right now where Chase kind of took the words out of my mouth. Being a Vanderbilt season ticket holder myself, basketball and football, I now have two kids that eventually I'm going to want to take the games for. I can't afford to take my son, who is 4 years old, and eventually my daughter when she grows up, to go to these games without having to do some things like selling those Georgia games and the things like that to kind of make it work. So for the people that bought the full season package and you know, bought in for all the tournaments and the things like that, like those are the people that I hate that for them, but they get rewarded. That's how it goes. If you wanted to buy season tickets to Vandy, but you didn't want to go to the Georgia game, you can't just get partial things for it. Like you're paying for all the games, or you're gonna have to just jump on the market yourself. So again, it's just it's one of the situations where it's like, you know, I think that the market for these tickets, as much as people are hoping and the bots and maybe the people that ran out to get like six or seven tickets and trying to flip them for, you know, thousands of dollars or whatever, they're probably going to get hit with a reality that later closer to game time, that's just not going to happen. I'm on some Facebook groups and things like that where I've seen ticket prices with people talking about how they wanted $1,000 a ticket. Now they've already come down to $800, $700. So I'm not saying it's going to get like astronomically lower, but there are people that are still out there. If you follow the National SC Facebook groups and Instagram pages, that people are spent, you know, $300 a ticket that they just want to get their money back. So if there are people out there that need to take, you know, want to go see with their family, check out those pages and try to see if you can find an honest person. Just be careful who you're dealing with so you don't get scammed.
Mike, thanks for the call. Good stuff.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep. Thanks.
All right. I have a thought on that relates to the Titans too.
Okay, so let's come back on this. We've got a lot of people that want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. The ticket dynamic, are you going to the game? Are you watching the game? Where are you going to watch the game? Because remember, it's not on free TV, although Amy from Arkansas texts in and says she's been watching these games on the Spanish-speaking channel on...
Tuna Division.
Yeah, so it's... What channel is that? It's in the 400s in DirecTV?
So for Comcast and Xfinity, it's 614, and then it does an auto-channel to HD, so I don't know.
So you can watch this game in
Spanish.
But yes. To be honest, the Spanish announcers are awesome. I love listening to those games.
Brings more atmosphere to the game.
they bring it, no question. 615-737-1025.
We'll be back with more of your calls and texts. 1025-1063 the game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mays, presented by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. You must be 21 years or older and in Tennessee to bet. Chase McCabe in today. Caroline will be doing the afternoon show with Adam Vingan. Derek with the day off. But taking your calls right now on Nashville SC tickets. And just real quick before we get to Buffalo, on Mike's point about, you know, just not being able to afford it. I mean, this is only going to get worse. With the new Titans stadium, I mean, a lot of people are asking the question, you know, that our current season ticket holders, are we going to get priced out of the new stadium? And unfortunately, that's kind of been the case in other markets that have built the stadium. And so how many people are going to be rushing to try and see a game at Nissan Stadium, you know, before they feel like they can't afford it anymore? And I think the same goes for, you know, Nashville SC in this situation. This one's different because it's a international star. It's a tournament. You have people coming from out of town for this. And, you know, maybe you're going to get some of that in the regular season next year when Miami comes here. But I just kind of wonder how much more of this we're going to see, you know, with the new Titans Stadium here in a few years.
That's a good foreshadowing. I am curious about that because I'm a believer, especially in a big stadium, that you should have a price point in the upper deck that's affordable for families. But that's a little different than the size venue that Geodis Park is. Or when you're talking about an arena, you know, that sometimes supply and demand does dictate what your prices can be. But that will be interesting to see when the times comes. But it's like you said, with the Vanderbilt Stadium, you can go back years and years about this. When you have a game that has a big demand, this is going to happen some. But this is challenging, so let's see what some other people's experience has been this week.
Let's go to Buffalo, 615-737-1025. Welcome in.
I never saw a soccer game before I watched Ted Lasso, and it got me hooked. I got a concrete buddy who's a soccer fan, so I bought 3-season tickets, and I've only missed 2 games since they opened Geodis. And I actually opted out because now I have 5 season tickets, and it was weekday games. I didn't really feel like I could get enough people to go to those games. And if you look how Gary played those games last year that were out of the MLS, they just threw their second string in there and they just lost. So I didn't opt in. I wish I would have, but it gave me the opportunity to buy $150 club seats for all of these matches. So I'm not mad. I've seen every match. It's been an awesome trip through this League's Cup. But, you know, and so then I got into the season ticket holders, get your code and enter at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, and it took me 5 hours to buy 1 ticket.
Wow.
I fooled around with my phone for 5 hours off and on, and I finally got 1 ticket. Cost me $900. It's actually a good ticket, close to where the players come out in section 131. So then I've got all these concrete amigos that want to go. So I bought 2 more tickets. Right now you can get a what's called an SS ticket, you know, down there in the rowdy group for about $450. I ended up paying $700 for 1. And then I got a ticket up on the second level up on 230 for another $700. So I'm about $2,400 into 3 tickets. So, you know, three amigos, concrete amigos. Okay.
So you've been all in. You're saying you're going to this. So even though you're a season ticket holder, it still costs you $900 as a season ticket holder.
For 1 ticket, yeah.
For 1 ticket, but yeah, that wasn't face value, I assume. Was that secondary market, you know, that you ended up getting?
It was on Ticketmaster. You know, I bought it on Ticketmaster. But as these last 2 days, all these prices have fell in half. I mean, these good seats are still pretty high. You won't get in the club for less than $1,500 for a ticket. And most of the lower bowl tickets are still up over $900 for the lower bowl tickets. But man, this is going to be a fantastic. And I was never even a soccer fan before Ted Lasso. Let me tell you, Green Bay Packer all the way. But hey, I'm in there with the Nashville SC, and I hope that this tradition goes on. Like next year, we can get in this thing, and I'll actually have 5 season tickets that I can then take advantage and take everybody I know. But it's just been a wild ride this year. You just got to hang on and just ride with it. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah, good stuff. Hey, thanks.
Appreciate
a lot, Buffalo. Gator Tim texts in, unfortunately, the ticket apps haven't rid themselves of bots, and Nashville is a hot market for tickets, so the brokers buy up all of the tickets and charge a premium price.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that goes away. I mean, we've talked a lot about ticket brokers, but unfortunately, I don't see it going away. I mean, the fact that I was seeing some of these prices – and I made the joke earlier, but it was true, that they're like on par with Taylor Swift is crazy. Just absolutely
for
crazy.
For the demand?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean.
Dustin in Hopkinsville. I got Morgan Wallen tickets in Louisville in February for $900 for 2. Just to look them up in June for $200 apiece. Cry me a river. In this economy, loyalty goes out the window. Sell to the highest bidder. That team deep down doesn't care about you, just your money. I have a hard time understanding. Because the league basically owns all the teams to an extent, mm-hmm. they make a lot of the big decisions. Mm-hmm. How much of the ticket pricing has come from Nashville SC and how much has come from the league?
Well, I don't know. For this, I don't know, because this is League's Cup. So I don't know how much of a say MLS would have on that.
Or specifically the team.
Yeah. So I'm honestly not sure. I mean, it is interesting. Like, and I asked this earlier on my show, of, you know, what's your price? Like I texted Ricky. I'm like, would you pay $500 to go see Messi play? And he said yes. You know, it, like I said no. You know, but I paid $875 to go see the Braves in the World Series because that's my team, been my team since I was 5 years old, and it's the World Series. So, and it was a potential clinching game. Like, I would assume if it's Mets in the World Series, you know, there's probably a price point for you. You know, but it just depends on how much it – like, I'd love to go see Lionel Messi play, but I'm not going to pay an arm and a leg for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's me. That's my personal
Everybody's
choice.
Different for what they would pay for a ticket, but when it comes to Messi, there's people that will travel
sure.
and then pay, so you got a bigger pool of people. Another text that's interesting. Even among the diehards, this tournament was a relative unknown. That is an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And I think I just heard something to the effect from Buffalo that in the past, this tournament hasn't really gained a lot of steam. It's like, well,
we're that's the first year, right?
First year inaugural.
But they've played other games outside of the league schedule.
Correct. Right? Yeah, the U.S. Open Cup.
U.S. Open Cup would be a good example. And it's like, well, are we really going for this? Like, if you win a couple, then maybe it changes.
U.S. Open Cup's not as popular with fan bases, from what I've
seen. Is that because that was all MLS teams? Or
yeah, it was more like the USL teams and some NPSL teams and the very lower division in North America, United States oriented.
So basically this person's saying, I don't blame a season ticket holder for passing on this set of games because I think, as Buffalo said, they haven't even always put the best players in there for these games. But now it's like, well, they've won a couple. Now the spotlight is on this maybe more so than ever before.
Has Geodis hosted other teams or just what Nashville SC was in?
Just Nashville SC. Okay. Now, I think they have a women's college soccer game coming up in September at Geodis Park, but that's, I think, the only one that I know of. They've had a few concerts, but nothing sports-oriented.
Well, we'll get back into this for sure in the matchup tomorrow, but we'll shift gears into the Titans coming up. And at 12:30, we're going to do Ask Willie D, because no D-Mace today. So Ask Willie D coming up at 12:30. I have a feeling some Preds fans might throw some Preds questions in there for you and maybe about your first pitch. We'll do that. Caroline Willie and D-Mace chase in today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.